As we start our little series on Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So I'll just pray and then I'll hand over. Father God, we thank you so much for this privilege, for the gifts that you have given each and every one of us in here. Lord, please continue to move by your Holy Spirit. Please bless Kim in all the words that she has to bring and share with us this morning. And stir us and inspire us as we take heart and we listen to what she has to say to us. Amen.
Good morning. So, thank you, Father God. So, God is here with us. He's moving amongst us. He knows our every thought. He knows our every heartbeat. He loves us unconditionally. He knows our pain. He knows our joy. Where can we go to hide from him? There is nowhere. Where can we run from him? There is nowhere too far where God can't come and gather us up. He's here now, and each one of us is here by his divine calling and his divine purpose. He has a plan for each one of us, and today this is part of his plan for each one of us. We've come with our own anticipations, or maybe none. We've just been rushing and now we're here today. We have hopes and aspirations, dreams, disappointments. God's been saying to me this week, give me your ashes. And God's been saying to me this week, to lean on me, you need to lean into me. And he invites us now to offer our ashes to God and to ask him to hold them while we receive his joy, his healing, his love, his peace. So just now, in this moment, let's pause and do that prophetic act of offering him our ashes of disappointment, sadness, grief, anger, hurt, worry, fear, concern, uncertainty. Let's offer that to him. Say, Father God, here are our ashes. Hold them, Father. Take them. And by giving you our ashes, we trust you with what concerns us. And we create space in our hearts, our minds, our lives for you to fill with what you offer us in exchange of the ashes that we've given you. We trust you with our ashes, and we trust you to fill us up afresh with your love and your goodness. Just pause for a moment and just think. Maybe you don't have any ashes, maybe everything's feeling great and that's brilliant, so you can offer up your gratitude. But just now, think of a word in your mind. Holy Spirit, minister to us in this moment and speak to us. What word represents our ashes or our gratitude? See that word and give it to God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you that we can trust you with our feelings and our thoughts and our emotions and our hopes and our dreams. And now, as we lean into you, as we lean our thoughts, our feelings and our emotions, as we lean into you with all that we are, as we lean in onto your chest like John, to hear your heartbeat for us. Reveal your heartbeat for us today. Holy Spirit, help us to hear your heartbeat. And as we sit at your feet, like Mary, gazing up and hearing and listening to attentively your every word, Holy Spirit, open us up to hear what you are saying to us today. And as Ruth surrendered to a life of obedience following you, Father God, show us your path, the direction of our lives. What's the next step that you'll have us take? Reveal that to us today, Father God. Thank you for this time out of life to lean in to you and to hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's just keep leaning into him today, a listening ear for him, a listening heart for him, an open mind to what he might say. Because today we're thinking about not leaning on our own understanding, but leaning into God, aren't we? So let's be open to his wisdom, to what he's saying to us in this season of life. So my name's Kim. I'm a local Christian. And if you read the bio, I'm a mum, grandmum. And I only have one message. And it's how to read the Bible devotionally. But when Ogochi asked me to share today, and I was meditating on the scripture many, many months ago now, I was like, I know what I'm going to talk about. Ruth. I mean, if there is a woman in the Bible who leant on God and not her own understanding and had her pathway directed in right into the center of God's will for her life, it's Ruth. And I meditated on the life of Ruth and I thought, what an amazing journey. There was that crossroads in her life where she could have gone her own way, but she said no. Naomi, your God will be my God. And she pledged her life to follow God when it didn't make sense. Culturally, she should have, after her husband had died and she was widowed, she should have returned to her own family. But she went on with Naomi and said, your God will be my God, knowing that she may never be married again. And God led her right through to marrying her kinsman redeemer, a beautiful picture of our journey to Jesus. Our kinsman, redeemer, who redeems us. And on that journey, there were phases she had to work incredibly hard. And then she was led to lay at his feet in submission, total submission. And then she was told to just wait. Your kinsman, redeemer, Boaz, is going to take this on for you now. And she went through that journey and she followed God in each phase of her life. I was really excited to unpack that with you and share that with you. And I've known what I was speaking about for a long time until God goes, no, you only have one message, the message I've given you. And I teach how to read your Bible devotionally based out of my own testimony. I'm not going to be able to teach you how to read your Bible devotionally today because of the time. So I'll share my testimony with you and any other insights. How I met lovely Ogochi was that I think fundamentally through teaching, reading the Bible devotionally. And many years ago, I wrote a book. Here it is here. And I had two young children, 1 and 2, 1 and 3 years old, something like that. And Agochi was one of some women who would come and voluntarily come and look after my children so I could go off into the study and write my book. I'm not going to sell that book to you today, but I would like to teach you how to read the Bible devotionally. It's what I want to teach everyone. It's how I want to live my life, teaching people my one message. I do have a revised version of the book. I've pulled this because it's so out of date now in terms of testimony story in there. And within a week or two, the new book will be published. And so what I would like to do is leave some sign-up sheets. And if you would like to receive the link when it goes live, then pop your details on there. And what I want to do is make it available to you. I could try and make it available for free, see what the facility is, and send that out, and then invite you to download it for as cheap as I can make it, or free. And maybe you can leave me a review and help me get started with that book. That's up to you. I'll leave that with you. But the sheets will be out on these two tables, and you can sign up on those. So how my message of reading the Bible devotionally, which I call Read to Feed. So I teach that the Bible is spiritual nourishment. It's described in the Bible as wholesome spiritual nourishment that energizes us spiritually to be able to live a spirit-led life, to be able to connect with God who is spirit with our spirit and be led in life holding his hand spiritually, and to read the Bible to develop and nurture and cultivate our ability for deep intimacy with God so that we can live a life leaning into him and following him. Which is how I ended up talking about this message this week, having spent all this time looking forward to speaking to you from Ruth and God saying no. And it's very, very subtle, you know. I was on a long journey and found myself debating, will I do Ruth or would I stick with what I speak about? And reached Bristol where I was going for work and thought, yeah, I'll speak about Read to Feed. And then driving home the next day, no, I'll speak about Ruth. And then yesterday morning I woke up to, I have a website and it's been dormant for a long time because I'm so busy with work. But woke up to, for the first time in I don't know how long, 2 emails asking for mentoring and someone for a copy of my book. And I went, oh, all right, God, okay. So it's Read to Feed because we read the Bible to feed our spirit. And it's a gentle way of reading the Bible, just reading it, submitting our intellect to what God will do spiritually as we read the Bible. So, and how I discovered that was many, many years ago, when I reached a point in my life, probably, how old was I? I don't know, 22, 20, about 25, where I was utterly broken and suicidal from the impact of a life of abuse, which I allude to into my bio for today. So I grew up in an abusive home. At 13, I decided it was safer to sleep on the streets than be at home, so I did that. Just before my 14th birthday, I went into care, went through a variety of children's homes. I think I moved 14 times in my first year with my 2 black bags filled with clothes and teddy bears, and experienced more abuse in care, and then came out of care, became a Christian, thought everything was okay now, I was God's, and then I was raped. So, but I'd lost my defences for abuse because I decided abuse was no longer part of my life. I grew up being abused, so that's what I expected, so I had my defences. But they were down, so it broke me, completely broke me. And I had a young son, so I had to keep going for him. So my husband, I was newly married, my husband would go to work in London, and my son, I would take my son to school, he was in reception class, and I would come home and just read my Bible. And how that happened was I walked past an old secondhand bookstore one day, and there was a book on there about reading the Bible. I was a new Christian, and the church I went to, wonderful community, beautiful people, didn't speak about reading the Bible really, and didn't even necessarily preach from the Bible. So that was a new concept for me, to read the Bible. So I read the book about reading the Bible, which inspired me to read the Bible. So I read the Bible through in approximately a year. So I would drop my son off at school, and I would come home, curl up on my sofa, and read that daily segment of my Bible, and read it pretty much every day. And what happened was that this capacity that no one had taught me, I didn't know about this, and there was no internet out there to watch all those amazing videos and things we can watch now. I just had what my church community as a new Christian taught me about having a relationship with God. And just a capacity for intimacy just grew within me. So I would come home and I would look forward to reading my Bible, and then I would just curl up on the floor and I would just sit there in the middle of my lounge for 1 to 4 or 5 hours a day, Monday to Friday, term time, for a year, for an academic year. And in that time, I lived in a bubble of love. Just a bubble of love and healing. No words, no worship playing. Now we've got the internet. I have YouTube worship playing all the time. It was just silence. Our flesh doesn't do that. Our flesh can't do that. Struggles with that. It's not made to connect with God in that way. Our flesh is made to connect with the natural realm. A gift from God so that we can really enjoy our time on earth. And our spirit is how we connect with God, who is spirit. Spiritually, I was so connected with God that I could sit still with him for 4-5 hours, day after day after day. Not much being said. And the last song we sang was one that because I don't know songs all the way through, was one I would just sit in my lounge and just sing over and over and over. And I think the words that passed my lips most in that year were, I love you, 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 I just love you, I love you so much, I just love you. And one day, the only time I've heard God's voice audibly was he went, I love you, Kim. I was the only one in the home. And I heard him. And without realizing what had happened, it was someone speaking to me out loud, and I went, I love you. And then I went, oh, I've just heard him out loud. I've heard his voice. And as that year went on, I got stronger and stronger because I felt inhuman. I felt like a piece of meat. I just wanted to die. It was too painful to be alive, to exist. And God moved me on from being much more whole. It's a journey, isn't it? It's a life journey, restoration and healing, but whole, to the point that I wanted to live life, I could live life. And so I did live life, and I left God behind. And that capacity for intimacy, as I stopped reading my Bible, feeding my spirit to be strong and energized within me, to connect with God spirit to spirit, I lost that capacity, it dwindled. And I spent 15 years being a successful businesswoman to a certain degree. But longing for that intimacy. And I knew it came from reading my Bible because that's how it started. So I knew that. And so I would pick up my Bible and try and read it. And I just, I know this story. It's boring. I can't connect with it. Just wasn't connecting. And I would give up very, very quickly, like the yo-yo dieting. Yeah, I'm gonna lose weight. I'm going to eat healthy for a day. So it was kind of like that. And then that lasted for about 15 years, and then I reached a point where I was so dissatisfied with my Christian experience, I in a sense blamed God and said, right, that's it. If I don't see the power of God in my life, I'm giving this up. I'm walking away. Okay, well, I know what to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to set the alarm an extra hour early every day, and I'm going to read my Bible. And if you don't show me your power, that's it. Set my alarm, open my Bible, and God said to me, Kim, give me your heart. And I said, yeah, okay. And then I was reading my Bible every day and within no time. That capacity for intimacy, that knowing him, that hearing him, feeling him, that exciting journey of a personal awakening, a personal revival began again. But the first time was just pure bubble of love healing. This time he showed me I'd let my first love go. He showed me that I'd prostituted myself to other gods. And every word of conviction was dripping in love as I just melted and said, yes, you're right. And a whole new journey of awakening, revival, and healing of a different kind began. And through that, as I read through the Bible, cover to cover, this time, the first time it took me a year, this time it took me 13 weeks with two young children, a business, and everything that goes with that. I consumed my Bible in 13 weeks. I could not put it down because as you feed, the appetite grows. You're hungry and you're full all at the same time. It stimulates your appetite. It's this momentum that builds that you don't have to work hard. You start and the Holy Spirit just takes you away. And he showed me the message that I share, which is called Read to Feed. He showed me the scriptures that tell me that the word of God is food, is spiritual nourishment. He showed me that I am eternal spirit. He showed me that I connect with him spirit to spirit. He showed me that as I feed my spirit awakens, strengthens, comes alive within me, connects with God who is spirit, and I receive what he has for me in that moment. It makes reading the Bible really exciting because I open my Bible going, I wonder what he's going to share with me today. So I read my Bible to feed my spirit, to commune with God, and to receive from him what he has, like the Israelites gathering their daily manna. I read my Bible to know him. I read my Bible because my Bible is God. The word is God, tells us that. And so I am feeding on God. I'm communing with Jesus because the word is Jesus. And I read my Bible in trust and dependence, like the scripture says, leaning not on my own understanding, trusting the Holy Spirit who knows his word completely, every layer of every word. And we know the Bible has layers upon layers upon layers. We can read it and it says one thing, and then we read the same words, verse, and it says something else to us. Layers and layers and layers. Jesus said to his disciples, didn't he? I would love to share more with you, but you're not ready for the deeper truths yet. There are such depths to the word of God that he opens up. And so I read it in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. I come and I open my Bible and I lean in to the Holy Spirit. I lay down my intellect and I lean into the Holy Spirit for him to speak to me, to give me fresh manna, and to guide and lead my life through what I hear through my devotional Bible reading. But that momentum goes on because then he goes on speaking throughout the day. But as I feed my spirit, I feed my capacity to know him, to see him, to recognize him in the small details, in the small things, like recognizing him telling me not to speak about Ruth today, but to speak about my testimony and about Read to Feed. So we can be overwhelmed by the Bible, can't we? It can be a big book, and we can think, where do we start? Why am I reading this? all these numbers, all these facts. I lose concentration as I start reading it. My mind wanders. I don't actually understand that. Is that relevant to me? That was thousands of years ago. But when you read the Bible in trust and dependence on the Holy Spirit, the Bible becomes a treasure chest of the pearls of wisdom. It becomes wisdom to live by as the Holy Spirit unpacks it. For example, one of the moments that the Holy Spirit spoke to me about having lost my first love and let God go was that I was reading when the Israelites were crossing water from one portion of land to another portion of land, and Joshua stood in the water and the waters receded and the Israelites crossed, and Joshua being in the water was holding the waters back, and when he got out the waters came back. Amazing faith act. And as I read that, God said to me, that's a bit like you, Kim. Joshua is a picture of me, but you're standing in the water. You're fighting the waters back. You're trying to control everything. And you're not letting me do that. And you're saying to me, stand to the side, Jesus. I'm holding the waters back. And I was like, and when he speaks, it makes complete sense without any interpretation. You know what he's saying, you can feel it. And I was like, oh God, yeah, you're right, I'm so sorry. I am taking your place of leadership in my life. I'm not trusting you with my life. And I'm sorry. And thank you for showing me and help me to live out what you're revealing to me. As I read my Bible in the second, that the 3 months one, I ended up writing all around and in every gap and in the blank pages at the back, just filled with devotional conversations with God. And so then I started using post-it notes and writing on the post-it notes and sticking them in. It was falling apart and it was doubling thickness from all the post-it notes. I didn't study the Bible. I just had a conversation with God all the way through. For example, there's a scripture that talks about Benjamin resting between the shoulder blades of God. That speaks to me of a really lovely cuddle with God. And I just wrote, I'd like that, Daddy. I want to rest between your shoulder blades. Wrap your arms around me. That's not Bible study, is it? Not really. It's just devotional conversation. So the word didn't necessarily get imprinted in my mind, but it got inscribed on my heart. And it was so funny, I was reading the Bible with my children the other night. My daughter, she's 13, and she was reading it out loud, and she said a word wrong. And I said, without looking at the Bible, what the word was. And she said, Mummy, how do you know that? I said, I just know the Bible. Because I absorb it. I don't put any pressure on myself to study it, interpret it, memorize it. I just put it in. I just curl up and I indulge in taking in Jesus, taking in Father God, gathering up fresh manna and feeling a sense of really lovely satisfaction like you do from a really good meal, and enjoying the connection with God that comes from that. And I lean in and I trust the Holy Spirit to be my teacher, to speak to me, to remind me when I need to remember the word. Yesterday I didn't have a message to share because God changed it on me at the very, very last minute with my telling me to talk about Read to Feed rather than about Ruth. I was like, okay, so that's fine. I'll shift. And by 9 o'clock I was like, I'm just not getting this. I can't see how I fit it in to trust to what I've been given, because I teach it Read to Feed as a course, so I have a structure that I follow. And God removed, he disarmed all of that, you know, but that's what he does, doesn't he? Because he wants us to be dependent on him. Makes me think of Moses. With every plague, God told him to do something different to bring that plague forth. He didn't lift his staff every time, did something different every time. And it would be very easy that there's a program. He lifts his staff and declares the plague. But no, he had to listen to God and follow God every time. I have a system called Read to Feed, but God's not going to let me rely on that. He wants me to rely on him, doesn't he? That's what he wants from all of us. We focus from childhood about growing into independence, and then God takes us on a journey of growing into dependence. He wants us dependent on him. So he does disarm us. He does take away what we're used to, what's familiar to us, our structures, so that we will find what he is doing in that moment. And that's a life of trust, isn't it, in God? My understanding, I'd be doing something different today, but following God, this is what I'm doing. And I did actually type up notes for today, and I haven't even referred to those at all. I haven't even done what I even mapped out from what from that. And I actually suspected that would happen. It's here, I haven't even turned it on or looked at it. But I just pray that you're inspired, that wherever you are in your life journey, to pick up your Bible and look at it afresh. This is alive. The Word of God is alive and active, piercing, penetrating, dividing. And what's it dividing? Spirit, soul, and marrow. We are spirit, soul, and body, aren't we? Flesh. It's alive. In one way, it's not. It's just a book. It's just leather or cardboard with paper, with ink. That's all it is, isn't it? It's just this natural material, just like this. Until you open it, we heard about Mary and Martha. Until you open it, not like a Martha who comes to be busy, you know, and intellectually approaching it. And obviously intellect is absolutely a part of it. God's given us our intellect. That's how we engage with God in the word. But like Mary, I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's the posture my heart adopts when I read the Bible. I lay everything down. And the one thing I do is read and listen. So when you read your Bible and you go, oh, I'll highlight that, I'll underline that, I'll circle that, those are the moments to pause and commune with God. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you in that moment. So stop and engage and commune with the Holy Spirit. Because when it gets your attention like that, that's the Holy Spirit going, Kim, stop here. I want to speak to you about this. I've got something to say. And if I only read one line, because that's where we stop, great. I'll have a conversation with him in that. And then what happens is, whatever comes out of that, it's so real and so meaningful. It's inscribed on my heart. And the Holy Spirit brings it to my remembrance. when I need it. So we could have the worship, maybe. So I wonder what our response would be. Maybe there's someone here saying in their heart, I feel so broken. I feel so hurt by life. Maybe I can't bear to go on. Maybe there's someone here thinking, the word of God has become so dry to me. I want to read the Bible like that. Maybe there's someone here saying, never read the Bible. This sounds interesting. Could it be for me? Someone else thinking, I don't know God really. Just realized I know of him. I know about him. But I don't know that I know him. That first year where I sat with him every day, barely exchanging a word with him, just in his presence, I just fell so deeply in love with him. Just love. Just so in love with him. I was utterly, utterly besotted. I've gone through a challenging season recently, wondering how to approach it, what to do. And God said one thing, love me. Just love me through it. You just focus on loving me and I'll do everything else. Kind of where Ruth got to with Boaz when she laid down at his feet in submission. And then Boaz told her to rest. I'm going to take care of this now and I'm going to take care of you. That's what God says to each one of us. And it might be rest. It might be work. It might be sit at my feet in adoration, submission. Await instructions. Ruth was told to wait while her life hung in the balance. How hard is that? Like truly, that's hard, isn't it? And when Jesus died, was resurrected and ascended to heaven, the disciples were told to wait, weren't they? Stay here and pray. And they did. And look what happened. So maybe our response in this moment is to just close our eyes, lean in, and ask God what he's asking us to do in this season of our life that would be our act of trust and submission. Let's just listen. Father God, what does trust look like in this season of life? What does surrender look like in this season of life? Today, we incline our ear to your voice. We open our mind to your wisdom. And we yield our hearts to you. And we posture ourselves to lean into you throughout today to hear you. Because today it's not about three speakers, it's about one speaker, the Holy Spirit. Speaking through people, which is what he does, and speaking directly to us. Faith comes by hearing, by the word of God. And as we hear we hear you. May we hear you today so clearly. And may we not resist what you say because of our own understanding, but may we lean in to you. Give us the courage. But above all, God, draw our hearts into love and adoration. If you've never experienced deep, intimate love with God, to love and be loved, we love him because he first loved us. I declare that today your love affair with your kinsman redeemer begins. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love and adore you. We love your heartbeat. We love your voice. We love your presence. We love to feel you and hear you near. You're so real. You're more real than anything natural we know. Thank you, Father God. Jesus. And if you would like prayer today, there's going to be some prayer ministers that you can go to for prayer.